rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Why don't we come on in? We'll open with a word of prayer. We are going to be singing our cappella this morning, worshiping the Lord old school style. That's right, that's right. So we're all going to have to use our 10-string instruments, our fingers, and we're going to worship the Lord together. And I'll also invite my mother, Joy Weaver, to come up and join us now. Earl and Joy, they're down visiting for about a month or so, and just delighted to have them here with us. So normally Mom plays the piano, but we seem to have not been able to come up with it this morning. So anyway, we'll all work together and worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we do love you. We praise you. We thank you for what you're doing in each of our lives. We thank you for waking us up this morning. Lord God, we do thank you for those that are here. We thank you for safety on the roads, protecting those that are still en route to be here, Lord God. And we just pray for, again, for all the other bodies across the nation and across the world that are lifting up your name right now in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
We love you and praise you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, why don't you all go ahead and stand up, and we will do... And get going in the power of the blood. Mom, do you have something to say? Welcome the body today.
Does a woman have something to say? Come on. Well, you know what? I'm going to go off this list already. But before I do that, you know, Nathan said to me when he invited us to come, he said, I just want to go old school. He said, I just want to sing some familiar songs that everybody knows. And we can just really worship the Lord from our heart. And I said, that sounds great. And so that's what we're going to be doing. And I said to Natalie, you know, let's just pretend that we're like in a little house on the prairie. You know? And, you know, back then they didn't have sound systems and everything like this, and keyboards and everything. But you know what? They made a joyful noise. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we're going to do. And that really is what worship is, right?
Yes.
It's from our heart, through our mouth, to God's heart. So thank you, Jesus. Let's just sing that little chorus right now together and lift our hands and say, God is so good. Do you believe it?
God is so good. God is so good, He's so good to me.
And I love Him so.
I love Him so. Glory.
You know what I mean? It's those songs that were written you know, for the inspiration, the unction of the Holy Spirit on these writers. And you know what? That's what makes, that's the reason why these hymns, they lasted all this time, because they were anointed by the Spirit of God. Let's sing. I know I'm giving our PowerPoint man, you know, let's do How Great Thou Art. That is a song that you can sing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's not this way. You know, some songs are this way. Like the song Power of Love, that's this way. Okay? You sing that, you know, there's power of love, right? But this song, and so I want you to just, let's just close our eyes. Let's just pretend that we're standing right in front of Jesus. And we're just thanking Him for all the goodness and the mercy that we can lift our hands, that we have health and strength, and we sing. Then sings my soul,
my Savior God to Thee.
Just want to thank you.
Yes.
Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise you.
Take up another minute and pray. Let's start.
Lord, we just ask you to rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name. That he would have no place here, Lord. No place over this body, these people, these individuals, these families, Lord God. That you would rule and reign in our hearts and minds. That you would help us to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ, Lord God. That our life, our words, our actions would be a reflection of you to anyone that needs us, Lord God. And Lord, that you would be glorified and that you would be praised, Lord. And the more the enemy comes against us, Lord, I pray the more you would rise up, Lord. And we would just stand up, take our positions, and that you would fight for us because the battle belongs to the Lord. Lord, and I pray that right now in Jesus' name for every person who's in earshot right now, Lord, and even those who aren't, Lord, those who are hurting, those who are desperate, those who are misguided, Lord, those who are deceived, Lord, all those folks, Lord, those who maybe just couldn't even make it, the sick, the ill, whatever, that you would take care of them, you would meet them right now, speak truth into their lives and our lives, Lord. Nobody wants to hear from me, Father. Everybody wants to hear from you. So you speak through us today, Lord God, as we go through your word, as we teach and share, as other people share, Lord God, would it just be led by your Holy Spirit? That's what we're asking for. So push back the enemy and take ground from him, Lord, because he has no place here in the authority and the power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes, I have to do that. If I don't break it. Hallelujah. Thank you. Loud enough as it is, you sure want this mic close to my head?
Well, I'm trying to turn it down a little bit, get rid of that echo.
All right. And all kind of awesome. Love it. Okay, so you guys know just a couple things. Cassie Counts is coming into town. I've heard this will be a great concert. Take you with us Sunday, Saturday, March 18th, 7 p.m. Thank you.
Where do you get tickets?
Yeah, what? You get tickets at joyfm.com. You can contact them, and they'll tell you exactly where to get those tickets. Also, again, we were doing too many healthy things as a family as a church, so we're doing something very unhealthy. Yay!
They're killing.
Okay. Hey, the ones were good, okay? All I'm saying is, so I don't think that's this next Tuesday, right? It's in a couple weeks? Is that right? Okay, and also, so that's for everybody. That's for the youth, the families. That's also the men. And that Tuesday, actually, the men have decided they all want to come too and have fun with us and just have a great evening. So, again, there'll be wing-eating contests, who can eat the most, who can eat the hottest, who can eat the most hottest. We'll be visible for the next 3 days afterwards. It's all in there.
Is there a soda, right?
Actually, you know what? No, I think it's in like... Allentown, yeah. Quaker Steak and Lube. The time is going to be... I should put that on there.
We have to figure out what time the buffet
is. Yeah, that's a great question, Ava. Excellent. Why don't you text that to me, and then next week. You know how long you're here?
Text the address.
Address would help.
Oh, right. So you want to know where and when... Okay. Also, we would love your help in the children's ministry. We just love the kids. We want to just encourage them in the Lord and bring them up and raise them to love the Lord, to know the Lord. If you can serve once a month, we'd love to have you. Also, we have an equipping ministry here at the church, and so we have things like sermons online if you miss any of the teachings. Different books, the Bibles, different resources there. Also, a loaner library with Christian books, the CDs, the DVDs in the back. Here we meet for prayer every Sunday morning around 9 or 9:30. As we were driving here, of course, I was late this morning, and so my son said, hey, what are we going to pray about? What are you going to pray about today, Dad? And I said, nothing, son, because I'm late. And I just said, oh, no. So we just prayed in the car. But I love it when the folks are here. I love it when we're praying together. I believe this Tuesday at 6 p.m., is our study, and it says 1 Samuel, but it's actually 2 Samuel. We've made up 2 Samuel. We're going through the book of 2 Samuel. And is there anything you want to say?
Yeah, we're going to study the value of good counsel. Value of good counsel is, and then we're going to have some burgers and brats.
Oh, I love that. I'm sorry. I love a barbecue. I love a barbecue. I can't love both.
stomach and your soul. Okay. Oh, we got it. 1-5-6. Sorry, that's not this week. Okay, Thursday night also, we have a barbecue and Bible study. And that's Thursday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. And I'll tell you about that. Somebody said a cool thing. And I think this Friday is the Friday night smoker. Okay. Okay. Okay, sounds good. We'll put that on the text chain. If you don't get our texts that go out every single week for the body, reminding you of Bible studies, sometimes it's a Christian video to encourage you, sometimes it's the Word of God, please let me know. I'd love to add you to that list. Okay? Also, Shepherd's Heart Christian School, man, God, just pray. Just continue to pray, and God is continuing to bless and provide in miraculous ways. We just even found out we were a little bit short, and then all of a sudden, literally, God shows up with a cashier's check for lots of money. And just, yay, in Jesus' name, it's an unbelievable place before. Unbelievable. I love it when God does stuff like that. He's so awesome. Thank you, Lord. Bless them, Father. Oh, hey, where's your picture, Sherry? Your picture should be right there. Okay, well, Sherry, why don't you come up here? As you also share here at the school, at your chapel, so come on up anyway.
Go a little further. I think her picture's up there.
Is it up there? Hold on a second. Oh, you have a nice name tag.
Yeah.
Wow, that means
you're
all professional. Oh, there you go. There she is.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, that's a
good picture. Well, since we were going old school with the worship, I wanted to invite Sherry Brower up. Oh, no, I expect.
Right now.
We've been friends for a long time. So I'm just saying. And so anyway, for those of you who don't know Sherry Brower, she's been a friend for many, many years, and she has loved the Lord. She has taught Christian school for many, many years. She has taught children's ministry for many, many, many years. And now she's the head of the area for Child Evangelism Fellowship. And God's just been doing an incredible work in and through the ministry. It's a ministry we support here as a church body. And so, do you want to share what's been going on or anything you want to have before?
Okay, well, first I have a video. Can you show that video?
Sure.
Okay.
You know,
I don't know if I can get that.
Video right here.
Christian Youth in Action was able to do that exactly for me. It helped equip me and train me to reach others for Christ and help me become more strong in my own faith, as well as how to verbalize that and share my faith with others. And so if you're there and you're a young person and you're thinking, how can I make my faith more real, or how can I be a better witness for God, I think Christian Youth in Action is perfect. And who knows, maybe God will even call you into full-time ministry as a result of your attendance at Christian Youth in Action.
Christian Youth in Action is a life-changing experience. I got involved with CYA when I was 13 years old, and CYA was really like the youth group that I never had. This was where I was growing in my walk with the Lord. This is where I met lots of godly young people who, to this day, I continually have those relationships with. And so it was through CYA that I felt the Lord's call to full-time ministry when I graduated from college, which is very soon. And so I would encourage anyone who is looking for a way to serve, who loves kids, and who loves being surrounded by other young people, to come to Christian Youth in Action, because it is an experience that really will change your life. This is my 10th year at CYA training. This year I am an advanced student, and this is my 4th year coming to CYA.
This is my 3rd year in CYA. I'm a senior.
This is my 1st year, and I'm a junior.
This is my 2nd year.
I've been coming here for, this is my second year here, and I'm a senior.
I've been doing CYA for 4 years, and I'm a first-year CLIA.
My favorite thing about CYA.
My favorite thing about CYA.
My favorite thing about CYA.
My favorite thing about CYA is being in fellowship of friends, and making friends, and we do that pretty the same thing.
Signature. I had to say the mission demos.
The atmosphere of God.
Meeting new people and making friendships that really last.
The people here are great, and they're just, they're wonderful, and they make you happy. It's just the ministry of God.
It gives me the opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission.
All the staff empathy, explain to you everything that you need, and all the questions that they explain things.
For me, I love the staff. Everyone is so nice, and I really enjoy fellowship with Christian teenagers.
I'm really blessed to be here and respectfully and to learn more about God.
Well, good morning. Yes, I'm Sherry Brower, and as Hannah Rodriguez in the back there, she's gonna wave her hand. Hannah now works with Child Evangelism Fellowship, and Hannah went to Clearwater Christian College. Which is now we have it in Orlando because, as you know, Clearwater Christian closed its doors about a year ago. But what it is that the teens go, and this is, we don't play, do we? We don't play, do we? You have to be prepared, as Glenn went also, you have to be prepared before you go, and it's really a mission field. And so we're not sending youth to go and just get a spiritual high for a week. We are equipping them with God's word and how to share God's word and how to share the gospel for a lifetime. And then, you know, we know this in our own lives, that if we don't put in action what we know when we learn on Sundays, it's not very effective, is it? Amen. And so we want to give them the opportunity through the summer to share the gospel in different places. And keep praying, because this year I think we're in the YMCA, and that is just so huge. Oh, we're so excited. Oh, okay. So we need like 20 teens this year, 20, 12 to 18-year-olds. And so pray. Yeah, you're in, girl. I got you. So Hannah is going to send to her pastor that the 17th, March 17th, is we are having an activity for the teens that are interested in going. But what I need you to do, I'm going to just get down to the bottom line. God is doing amazing, amazing things. There is, God's spirit is just moving through Manatee, Sarasota. And so what I really need you to do is pray. And I don't say that lightly, because it says the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And if you pray, God moves. And so please pray. And then we need people who are going to sponsor young people. Some of you are saying, I'm not between the ages of 12 to 18. I can't do this, but I want other kids in Manatee, Sarasota County to hear the gospel. Well, then maybe you can help sponsor a person. It cost us about $425 for the summer, because we include in that the whole week gone, food, some travel, different things like that, and their curriculum. We also need drivers during the summer. We need people, most teens don't drive, hallelujah. And we need people to help drive, and we need people also willing to help feed teens. They eat like all the time. And so if you're willing to do that, Hannah and I are going to be here afterwards, and we love that. Also, I have a personal request. Hannah works with me at the office when is able, and you know that Hannah was in a car accident, and her car was totaled, and Hannah needs to get a car. And so we are praying that God will move and provide a car, because we go from all the way to 275, all the way down to Inglewood. That's my territory, and so I can't take her places. She needs to divide and go where she's needing to go and where I need to go. So please pray for that. But I wanted to share with you one story that God is doing, because I always love to hear God's stories. I have become friends with, I don't know if you know our superintendent for Manatee County School, Dr. Diana Green. She is a believer. She is incredible. I just love to listen to that woman pray. Like, she reaches the throne of God and she prays God's word. She does not sugarcoat it. Well, I probably told you this before, but I came to know, for those of you who have heard this, okay, for those of you who not, I just want to give you the background. We were praying because we were reaching less than 1% of the children in Manatee, Sarasota County, and that's not good. So we go into the public schools, we share the gospel, and we've gone from 2 clubs to 13 clubs. We'd like to have 20 next year, so if God lays it on your heart, come see me. We'll get you involved. But we go in the public schools and we share the gospel. And we've had over 200 children come to Christ in just a short period of time this year. I know. Amen. That happened in here. We had revival, right? Amen. So we're very excited about that. But we were praying, and so I have a great committee members, and we're looking to add to that because we're always looking to be diverse. And we went to praying. And so when we went to praying, honestly, sometimes I pray and I think, okay, God will answer that in the near future, or, you know, down the road or whatever. We got to pray. Like, I have to do a lot of things in order for him to answer the prayer. So I got home that night, and my phone rings from the office. So I don't even know my children's number. They just, it has to show up. So it'll just show their name. So the phone rang. I answered the phone. It was like 11:30 at night. And this person was like, hi, I'm Dr. Diana Green. I'm the superintendent for Manatee County School Board. And I'm like, yes, and I'm Mother Teresa. I just did not believe her. And I was trying to be polite, because if you're talking to a crazy person, you still, you know, they might know where you live. So I was being polite, and she's like, well, how many Good News Clubs do you have in Manatee County? And I said, well, we'd like one in every school. Like, I'm not telling you where they are. And so I was just talking to her, and finally she said, well, I worked with David Jacola in Marion County, and that is the county we had just prayed about, because they had a superintendent who had a Good News Club in every school. So we prayed that night. She goes, I just came from that area, and I want it here in our area. And I was like, so do I! And we planned to meet up, and it was like a 15-minute, it was less than 15 minutes, really. I was like, I know you love Jesus. I love Jesus. You're busy. I'm busy. Here's what I need. What do you need? I told her what I needed. She told me what she needed. She said, I'd love for you to have a breakfast for all the principals in Manatee County, and I'll invite them. I'm like, we can do that. We can do that. And so now we're having our third annual principals breakfast. And it's amazing. And God is raising up people who believe, and then they're getting to see other believers that are in their schools. I know one pastor that literally, principal and vice principal, literally walk around the school and pray for their students. They're, you know, in a major battlefield. They are. And when we come on campus and have the gospel and moral absolutes and God's word, they're like, thank you, thank you, thank you. My students need it. They need it desperately. Because only God can change a heart. So please continue to pray for us. Please continue to support us, because we need more volunteers. And we definitely want to see like 20 missionaries this summer. So if you're between the ages of 12 and 18, and God lays it on your heart, then just be obedient. I'm telling you, it's never about money. It's really about obedience, because God will provide. So thank you for being a sponsoring church. This is a hug for every one of you. Love you in the Lord.
Thank you.
Awesome. That's exciting stuff, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You're glad that you're a believer. And even though the enemy is getting darker and darker and darker, still God's people are just shining their lights more and more. And that's what God would have us to do, to shine. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody want to share anything? If you have, you want to share something, want to share a testimony or something real quick before we get started in the Word, then I'm going to, yeah, go ahead.
There's been a lot of prayer going on here this morning from the time that we got here until just now. And the Lord gave me a verse in 2 Corinthians, starting in verse 3 of chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare nature are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful to the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying the speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What happens here tears down strongholds. And we need to understand that when we pray, this is what happens. They're not empty words. They are going to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He is the one that tears down and destroys the strongholds of the enemy.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good. Anything else? Are you back there? Are you good?
Yep.
Can we get the mic to you?
Yeah. Oh.
Let's get the mic.
I request a prayer for my...
Last week, I requested prayer for my stepson, Michael, my wife's son, and he lives in California. She has not heard from him in 22 years. She Facebooked him to friend him about a week ago, and he Facebooked her back.
Wow. And praise the Lord. That's awesome.
He said that he was going to call her. He called her the night before last, and they spoke for the first time in 22 years.
God answers prayer. That's awesome.
He said he was going to call her back last night. He didn't, but he is living in California. He is addicted to cocaine and heroin, and he needs a lot of prayer. We're trying to get him to come to Florida to get him away from what he's in, because about, I guess a few weeks ago, he was met on the streets by some thugs who took a pipe and beat him pretty bad. He was bludgeoning from the head and everything. He told us this on the while we spoke to him through Facebook, and just needs a prayer for him, and hopefully he will come to Florida and get away from what he's in California. His first name's Michael.
Why don't we take a minute? If there's anybody else, if there's not, I'll just take a minute and pray for him. Oh, yep. Okay. Yep. Come on up here. We will pray for Michael, and we'll pray for CEF. Yes, you have one as well.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. Nate's gonna think of the exercise you get in here.
I have a friend, Blake Harris. He was in a really bad motorcycle accident last week. He's lucky he's alive. He had like serious compound fractures in his legs, and he almost lost his toes. So he's at the hospital right now, and if anybody could just pray for him for that, but like for everybody that's on the motorcycles, because nobody's paying attention to them, and so many young people are just dying for no reason, you know. I mean, there's a reason, obviously, but if we could just pray for Blake, that'd be really cool.
You got it. Let's do that right now. Father God, we just first we pray for just Michael right now, Lord God. We ask that, first, that you would rescue him, Lord, that you would save him from the streets, but more importantly, that you would save his soul, Lord God. Lord, that you would rescue him from the pit of hell, Lord. That you would rescue, that you would bring eternal salvation to him, to his heart, to his home, to his life. Lord, that you would change him from the inside out, Lord. We also pray that you would rescue him, heal him physically, and get him out of there, and put them in a safe environment. I thank you for answering the prayers of your saints and your people for 22 years, Lord. Oh, God, what an amazing answer to prayer. Thank you, Lord, for every person who prayed for that, Lord. Thank you for answering and encouraging us with it, Lord. We pray for Blake, Lord, for healing, Lord. And I don't know where he's at with you, but I pray that you would reach in and grab his heart, that he would be thinking about eternal things, Lord, and not just the temporary things, Lord God. That you would speak to him truth, Lord, about life and death, Lord, how fleeting it is, Lord, just like a vapor, Lord God, that he would come to know you, that he would seek you and find you and seek you with all of his heart, Lord God. I pray for CEF, Lord, and our and Manatee County School Superintendent, Lord, that you would just bless bless Sherry, Lord, our missionary, our local missionary, Lord, our friend who we love, Lord, that you would bless her and protect her spiritually as well as physically, Lord. We pray that you would provide the workers that she needs, Lord God, to do your work, Lord God, and they would have your heart, Lord, your spirit, and a heart to do that, to evangelize the kids, provide the finances, Lord, for all these things, Lord God. We just ask for your blessing and protection on them, each of them personally, and also on the areas in which they minister. And we thank you for your love. We thank you for this time. And now we ask that you would just speak through your word, your precious and holy word, to each one of us. Open up our hearts and our ears to what your Holy Spirit has to say to us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 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 All right, well, if you need a Bible, we'll go for you. Hand out a few of these. Raise your hand. And Jumpin' Jack JoJo will bring one right to you.
Jumpin' Jack JoJo.
Jumpin' Jack JoJo. Otherwise known as Joe Law. We are in the book of Romans, chapter 12, about loving more. Thanks for the chat. Thank you. My old eyes need that. I've got so much writing in my Bible, sometimes it's hard to read. Why don't we do this? And I think we only got through three verses last week, so I meant to get through more, but okay, so why don't we each read a verse, and we'll start off here, and then if you would read verse 9, and since your Bible is open yet, we'll skip you and go 10, 11, Romans chapter 12, yep, and we'll go 9, 10, 11, okay? Romans chapter 12.
Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good.
Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other.
Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord.
And then, what's the next one? Would you mind reading the next one, Heidi? Well, we're going to start there in just a second.
Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer.
So good. Now, if you remember where we're at, Paul's like, hey, if you have been renewed, Paul has said, if you've been saved after all these chapters, if you're not conforming to the pattern of this world, you've been transformed by the renewing of your heart and mind. You've been born again. You've been put on a new path. You're putting new stuff in your heart, new mind. You've got a new direction. You've got a new attitude. You've got a new character. You've got new goals. If that's happening in your life, then he's rattling off here almost like a machine gun of about 25 different things that he's saying, okay, this is how you're to live your life. It's more than just theology. This is how I want you to live. And God is saying, this is what it takes. Here's some actions I want you to take. And then later on in this chapter, in chapter 12, here's some reactions. Here's how you're to react in these situations. And so he goes through a bunch of stuff. He goes, love must be sincere. Do you remember we talked about there's different kinds of love in the Bible? What kind of love is God saying that we need to have as Christians towards others? What kind of love is this? Do you remember?
Agape.
Agape love. That's right. Good. And love must be sincere. Anybody remember what that means? Oh, you're so good. That's right. That's right. Wholehearted. That's right. Love must be sincere. Latin word, sin, and sede, without wax. And you guys, for those of you who weren't here, they would make those pots, and they would, sometimes if they would get cracked, what they would do is fill them with wax and then paint over it, and it would harden. And so once they painted over it, you couldn't see it until they had it under a tent or a palm tree or something. And then when you get it home and you turned up the heat of the fire, or you left it out in the sun, that wax would melt away, and you'd realize that that pot's not worth anything. It's not sincere. And so the actual Greek word means without hypocrisy, and I think that's what your translation said. And so we talked about what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite and means an actor. And if you remember in those Greek and Roman times, they would put on a mask. In other words, so that word is saying, hey, your love must be without hypocrisy. You can't be a faker baker. You can't be one way at work and one way at church. You can't be one way with your Christian Bible study friends and one way, you know, with at home with your wife or with your kids or on the internet or you name it. You can't do business one way and come in and operate a different way when you're around Christians. That's not how it works. God wants your love to be sincere, truthful. You know what? People can see through that. They're looking for genuineness. They're looking for sincerity. They're looking for people without wax. They're looking for that. And you know what I found out? And for those of you who are living that way, unfortunately, you're living without hypocrisy. Sometimes people will make it up. If they can't pin something on you, they make it up in their heads because they want to feel prideful and righteous. Happened a bazillion times with me. And if you're mature in the Lord, this has happened. But it doesn't matter what people think. Ultimately, it matters what God thinks. And he wants you to be without hypocrisy. It says, hate what is evil. Do you remember that word in Greek? What does that mean, that hate? How strong is that? Do you remember? Anybody remember?
That's
right. Abhor. That's right. Abhor. It's like, it's only used once in the Bible. Strong. So, God wants you to be loving, but he also wants you to hold on to truth. He says, hate what is evil and cling. Cling to what is good. I want you to hold on to it with all you got. He says, be devoted to one another with brotherly love. That word Philadelphia, that loving, devoted to one another with brotherly love. And sometimes brotherly love is giving of yourself. Sometimes it's speaking the truth. Sometimes it's correcting. Sometimes it's rebuking. Sometimes it's serving. Sometimes it's giving. Sometimes it's listening. But be devoted to one another and honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Joy, let me tell you, I love when you come visit because you are a joy. I just love you up here. You know, praise the Lord, hallelujah, the blood of the Lord. You know, that's not a show. That's just zeal for the Lord. I love that. Never be lacking zeal. It says to keep it, which means we can lose it, right? It's easy to walk away. God bless you. Hallelujah.
It's called allergy season.
Yes. All right, so we're going to move on to all these things because we went through it. If you missed that, I would really grab the CD or listen because it was a really great time together. Okay, and then, of course, the last thing we left off was make sure that you know that you're serving the Lord because, you know, people will probably never say thank you enough to make you feel good. You have to remember it's the Lord that you're serving, okay? All right, so here we are. We'll get there eventually. Okay, so he starts off to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And that's right there. That's one tiny little verse, right? But isn't that packed with stuff? You know, when folks are going through trials, when God wants us to show something a little bit different. He says be joyful in prayer. And joy goes beyond just being happy, right? Happiness comes and goes, right? You know, I have a wonderful... Let me tell you something. I am really happy when I go to Five Guys. And I get... I'm just being honest. I get their bacon double cheeseburger. It's like $8. It's so... But... And they have a bag of fries.
Oh, yeah.
And when I say a bag of fries, if you've not been there, I'm talking like literally. It's like a sack. It's a brown and grease is dripping out of it. I am so happy. Now, after I eat that Five Guys fries, and I eat that, I am not happy anymore. It's like that I feel sick. I feel miserable, greasy, fat, gross, sluggish for about the next, I don't know, 24 hours. So, but joy is something that comes from the inside of your heart. That's been put there by God, right? In other words, does any of your translations say anything else other than verse 12? What does it say? Be what in hope? Does anybody have anything different?
Just rejoice.
Rejoice. Actually, that's also an excellent translation because that's what the word means in Greek. It means to rejoice in hope. When you're in that affliction, when you're in that struggle of the mundane parts of life, he wants you to be joyful. He wants you to rejoice in it. You know, Philippians 4:4 says to rejoice in the Lord always. Now, don't get me wrong. I realize that even the nicest, friendliest, most loving person in here isn't always going to be beaming 24/7. Right? I think God knows that too. Right? But our hearts should be continually rejoicing. Because if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. You are sanctified. You are bought. You are redeemed. You have a place kept in heaven for you. Eternally. Now, when I have that perspective, everything else kind of goes away. I have reason to rejoice, and so do you if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're in those financial struggles right now, or you're in that trial at work, or you can't get the job, or you're under that pressure right now, realize and rejoice. That, just remember, take it back to remember who you are in Christ. You have a lot to rejoice for. If you're saved, you are richer than any person that exists on the planet. You have much more. It says this, the same word here in Luke chapter 6, 22. You know, Jesus is talking about, he says, what blessings await you when people hate you? What? When they exclude you. Have you ever been excluded?
Yeah.
You ever been hated?
Yeah.
And they mock you. Have you ever mocked? It is not fun. And reject your, Jesus, he's good for you. He's good for you too, you just don't know it yet. And mock you and reject your name as evil. And my name has been rejected as yours because you love Jesus. The enemy's working on that. He says, because you follow the Son of Man, not because you're a knucklehead, because you follow Jesus. He says, rejoice, same word. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. What? It says, but that's how they treated the prophets. How did they treat Joseph? What did they do to him? What did his brothers do to him? They what? Threw him in a pit? Sold him? Messed up his favorite coat? It says to rejoice and hope. Now listen, I'm not... Okay, this isn't... I just want you to have hope. God wants you to have hope and hope. Just be hopeful. Well, aren't you... What about all these things and trials that are going through? And people are struggling. Just have hope. I just have hope. Bless your heart. Praise God. No, I don't have hope in hope. That's moronic. I have hope in Christ. It's in a person, right? Have hope and hope. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those that hope, what?
In the Lord.
Will renew their strength. They will soar like, soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. That's hope. You know, there's a. My hope is in the person of Jesus Christ. It's in His Word. It's in His precious promises. It's in that place kept in heaven for me. You know what I mean? My hope just isn't in being hopeful. My hope is in Jesus. My hope is built. Remember that song? I bet you don't. But there's a song that goes, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness." Man, that's how I make it through the day. That's how I make it through the week, the month, the year. It's Jesus. He's my hope. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Natalie.
I was going to say, too, okay, when it talks about rejoicing in hope, right, what are we hoping in? Because it's not in hope. We're hoping in God's, first of all, His character. Because His character is what sustains this universe, that He's good, right? That He's long-suffering, that He's patient, that He's graceful, that He has the ability to change our lives. You know, when my husband and I are going through a struggle, my hope is not just that I'm going to heaven. That's a very self-centered hope. My hope is that the Lord can bring revelation to us. He can bring healing in our marriage. He can bring understanding between us. He can teach me to be humble. He can help my husband's heart to have, you know, maybe see my perspective. Like, my hope is in His character and His ability to bring His power into our lives. Because for me, personally, if I'm looking at my own self, I can be pretty happy. My life can be pretty good. But if I look at the people around me, my siblings, my parents, my husband sometimes, things my children struggle with, that can burden me. That can depress me. But when I have my hope, is in the fact that if I, as his daughter, come to him and say, Father, I need your help. They need your help. Will you help them? Will you come to them? will you change their life? Will you give them eyes to see? Will you help them understand? That's my hope. My hope is that he's going to do it because he's good. And my hope is that his character says, I'm longing to help you. I want to help you. I want to heal you. I want to make you into the image of Christ. And he's willing to do all these things. He's not desiring to leave us in this place of desperation. My hope is in his ability and his power to change things in our lives. Not so much circumstances as much as the hearts of people. And that's why no matter what crappy situation it looks like, it can be changed if we hope in him. But that hope doesn't mean we just say a prayer and say, well, whatever happens, happens. It means we continually trust and say, Father, I'm trusting this into your hands.
And that's the difference, you know. The hope is in him. It's in his heart. It is in his word. You know, he's given these, he says in Peter that he's given us everything. He's given these everything, his promises, so that we have everything we need for life and godliness. But, you know, and honestly, I don't think that hope in heaven is self-centered. I'm just so thankful for him. You know, that he is my hope. I'm going to see him again. I'm going to bow at his feet. It's going to be a wonderful thing. So my hope is in him. My hope is in him now. My hope is in him for the future. He's everything. This is my life. He's my hope. And so it says in Titus 2:13 that we're looking for the blessed hope. And who do you think that is?
Jesus.
Jesus. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I have hope in his word that it won't return void. You know, I have hope in his word. And I want to tell you something, too, just so that everybody... Oh, wait, I'm going to wait on that one. That word hope in the Greek is elpis. We did it in Romans chapter 5. And that word hope in the Bible, a biblical hope, doesn't mean like, I hope the sermon won't go an hour today. You know, it's not like I hope that I, you know, let out the dogs who get some poop on the carpet by the time I get home. It could be, might not be. I hope I got an A on the test. I'm not sure. It's not wishful thinking. A biblical hope, elpis in Greek, is a confident assurance. So when I say, I hope in Jesus Christ, or I hope in his word, or I hope in the eternity of heaven, I'm saying I have confidence that I know where I'm going. I have confidence that his word will provide everything that I need for life and godliness. I am assured of these things. Does that make sense? That's what the word means. That gives me great confidence. In a world where all, you know, things are going around you, and I have it on the next slide, but you know, there's so much craziness in this world going on, even in the Christian community. It blows me away. It freaks me out. It's like a whirlwind out there right now. It is. And you know, if you've ever been on, how many of you have been to the state fair? Like Sarasota County, Manatee County? Okay. They have this thing, I don't know how it's saved. But anyway, they have this thing called a tilt-a-wheel.
Yeah.
Okay, you might say, because I brought it up. But, you know, and this thing starts off, one of my sons would be screaming, I can't, anyway. It starts off, and you spin around, and it's, you know, it's a picture of just this world, school craziness, craziness, crazy, all the, so, and then what happens? The floor drops out. And if you live in this life, let me tell you something, it's not all going to be roses and you know what I'm saying? Pretty pebbles. The floor is going to drop out sometimes. And sometimes it's going to drop out daily for you. Now, I hope that doesn't happen. But chances are it is, because that's what God will use. Now, that floor drops out. People are crushed. And what God is trying to say is, I don't want you to have that. I want you to rejoice in the hope of me. Because I'm good. I'm going to take care of things. You can trust in me. Now, tomorrow, with your son, with your daughter, with your school, with your work, with your baby, you can trust me, but you seek me. You can trust me. And so, you know, when that floor bottoms out, you know what happens? I don't know, because it's centrifugal force, whatever, but the people stay there. They don't drop down into the grinder. You know, there's a lot of screams, right? Have you ever been on it? You know, and it feels like you're going to drop sometimes, doesn't it? But not with Jesus. He's got you in the palm of his hand. In fact, in John chapter 10, roughly, he says that no one can take you out of your father's hands? Nobody. You can trust him. He has got you. 1 John 5:13 says that you may know. That's the title of it. And it says, he's writing these things, all the scriptures. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you would know that you had eternal life. Does that make sense? Yes, Elijah.
But thankfully, the Lord has a strong hold on you.
That's right. Satan does try to take you away. He's always trying to come after you. But yes, as you trust in the Lord, your strength. He's your hope. He's your strength. He's your refuge. Okay, so that's like the first three. Okay. So he wants us joyful, rejoicing in hope, in that assuredness, right? Then he wants us, the next one is patient in affliction. And of course, we all see how wonderful Christians are of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Hmm.
Seriously?
About that. Can you just say something about that? Oh, sure. Go ahead. I'm nervous now, but yes.
No, I had court on Thursday, and court was at 8:15 in the morning. So at 9:15, I'm getting a little angry. And at 10:15, I'm getting quite a bit more angry. And at 11:15, I'm getting much, much more angry. So I started snapping at the bailiff about how dare you hold my whole day up. So I sat there for another 3 hours. That was fun. So I leave church, and or I leave work, or court, and it's in Tampa, and I'm driving home, and traffic is ridiculous, and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting, and then I need to get a phone. So I'm going to get a phone. I'm going to go buy a new phone this weekend, and I'm work Thursday, and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And now I realized at court that this was God telling me to just be patient, you know. But for because I got angry and was mad, how dare they do this to me? I was supposed to be out of here by 8:15. God gave me the reminder that I shall be patiently waiting for the rest of my life. And I waited for the rest of the day for every single thing that I had to do. So by the end of the day, I was just okay with waiting. I was like, whatever, I'll wait 20 minutes in line here at 7-Eleven. I'll take 2 hours to get my cell phone. So yes, patiently waiting in affliction was what I dealt with this Thursday. So,
that's great.
That's why it's called a virtue.
You know, that word, patient, is word hupomone. And it means perseveringly enduring. The picture, it says, when it says patient in affliction, it actually is the, let me see if I can remember now. The picture of it is like, almost like patient in affliction, almost like a, this is kind of a bad illustration, but I'm going to get it anyway, and then somebody can correct me. It's like when the Romans kind of used to torture some people, what they would do is they would have them lay down, okay, and then when they were, and they would put a board on them, like a plank. And then they would put a heavy stone on them, okay, to coerce it in, you know, confession or something, whether they did it or not, you know, let's just do it. And so they would do this terrible thing, and the idea was, as they would take a breath, as the crushing weight of it would let it out, it would be so hard to breathe again, you know, and the longer you run, the harder it is to. And you feel this long, enduring affliction where it feels like, have you ever felt that way? It's like crushing, like in your chest, like you're suffocating. Have you ever felt that way? That's patient in affliction. He wants us to be persevering through it, enduring. And how about this? Joyful in it. Listen. What? Listen. Everybody, every pagan who gets in trouble is like, listen. Exactly, like me. I was, you know, listen, man, who dare they do this to me? I'm the blah, blah, blah. And they complain. Or what about, what do we want to do when we're in affliction? We want to
get out of there.
Get out, run, Right? Isn't that, unfortunately, what a lot of us Christians do? First time we get affliction, now, we want to run. And maybe that's not what God has for you. Maybe he wants to show others that through this time, you're going to cling to him and you're going to trust to him no matter what. Regardless of the outcome. Let's say the outcome is good. Hallelujah. But Natalie, let's say the outcome is bad in what you see. You rejoice in the Lord. Because that shows people, what is it with you? Who are you? Because my hope isn't in the situation. My hope and my trust is in Christ. Yes?
That reminds me of what Gary was saying a couple weeks ago when he would give that testimony about his workplace and he didn't leave, even though it was terrible, because the Lord was setting up something. You know, just even the thing about the potter and the clay that we did on Thursday night, just there's just so much that we just don't understand. That we just have to keep going back to. We know his character. We know he is good. You know, and until he tells me to move, you know, or until he removes this, then we just have to trust him, even though it's hard, even though it stinks sometimes. You know, there's those little incidents with the day thing, and then there's those things that are a year and years of affliction. And to be patient in that, you know, and that produces, I tell the kids in my class, I've been telling them all week, I am not afraid to let you struggle because that will produce character in you.
Right.
I won't let you fall, but I will let you struggle because I see you getting stronger. And it's anything from a little thing from grammar and writing a sentence to a big thing on the playground. So, you know, that's the way the Lord looks at us. He's not afraid to let us struggle if it's going to mean he's going to get the glory and it's his to his work. So.
Amen. And that's right. And that's the goal. You know, and that patience or that perseverance or that endurance in the affliction or in the trial, you know, patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good godly attitude while you're waiting. Maybe God's trying to teach you. You know, in James chapter 5, verse 10, the same word here for patience and suffering, you know, hupomone and philipsis, says, for examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. If you look back, you know, there are a lot of churches today teaching that God wouldn't have a Christian suffer. If you look through, if anyone ever read the Bible,
I know.
Every, you know, Moses suffered, Joseph suffered, Samuel suffered, Daniel suffered, Jesus suffered, the disciples suffered, Peter, James, you get the idea?
Yeah.
God uses these things in our life. It says, we give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end. For the Lord was full of compassion and mercy. You know, Christianity today is just like, it's like thousands of miles wide, but about an inch deep.
Yeah.
When anybody is confronted with truth, when anybody is confronted with something they don't like,
I'm just going to run. I don't need this job. I don't need this wife. I don't need this husband. I don't need this relationship. I don't need this friendship. I don't need this church. I don't need this blah, 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 blah.
My goodness. That scares me. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes and says, will he find faith? Is there going to be some out there that are going to trust in him? Are you? I want to be on that
number. Yeah.
Romans 5, 2-5 says, because we know that that suffering produces perseverance, patience. And that perseverance, character, and character, hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. That doesn't disappoint us. It's like in James. Same word here. I just love this little thing. Sounding Neil, you sure get hit on the head a lot by trials. Ha! Every time I get hit, it just drives me deeper into the wood of faith. And that's kind of a silly cartoon. But isn't that what's happening? God is using those trials to deepen your faith. Sometimes I feel like, my faith's deep, Lord! And he's like, oh, the fact that you're telling me that. No, I meant... He says in James 1, 2-3, and this is the same word down here, it says, consider pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know, that there's that word again, you know it, that the testing of your faith develops patience, perseverance, hupomone. And then it doesn't have this on the screen, but I think verse 4 says, and that perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God wants you to be mature. He wants you to be able to take your stand when the enemy comes so you can help others out of that pit. That's what he uses it for.
What do you got to do to be good at tests?
What do you got to do to be good at tests?
What do you got to do?
Study. Testing your faith. Study.
You have to take it in.
I suck at this.
And you know what? Because I was unchristian. I was not a Christian for most of my life. You know when you said that? I was like, felt really guilty. I'm like, what do you do when you take a test? I'm like, cheat. Now I'm regretting it. It's the same way with Christ. Let him take you through it. Ask God, what are you trying to teach me in this? What are you showing me through this, Lord? Bring me through this that I can shine for you, that I'll be stronger. That should be our heart attitude. And Christians are like, oh, I can't believe I'm taking this trial. It's so crazy. I can't believe it. Hello, the Bible says in 1 Peter 4, 12 to 13, he says, dear friends, the Bible says this. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through. Hello. And more so, if you're the more zeal you have, the more you love the Lord, the more the enemy's going to come at you. Because his goal is to break your little heart so that you'll just give up and quit. I don't want to go to church anymore. When you're under that trial, just be honest. What's the thing? I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to the Bible study. I don't want to listen to the sermon. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to be around believers. Right? God's saying, I want you to, maybe you're feeling that, but say, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go anyway. In fact, yeah, I'm going to go especially. That's what he means. Yes, Elijah, tell me.
Honestly, the book, This Present Darkness, gives a good image at that because the poor pastor at that church was being attacked and ridiculed over and over and over again, and yet he stood his ground, and he was able to live for the Lord.
Yes, awesome. And there's another book that we'll have next week as a giveaway. For those of you who've already done This Present Darkness, we have the second book, Piercing the Darkness. Mm-hmm. So, Wendy Jo and some of the teens are reading it, and so anyway, but it says, instead, don't think it's strange these fire trials are happening to you. Instead, rejoice! There's that word. For these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. Listen, Hebrews 5:8 says, even though Jesus was the Son of God, he learned obedience by what he suffered. And so will you. Don't tell me that God doesn't want his Christians to suffer, ever, because he does. Sometimes he'll let them suffer and struggle. Not because he's mean, because he wants you to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Don't listen to those guys.
Because he wants me to have the virtue of patience.
Yes. Because patience is not what the world promotes, is it?
No.
It's, you know, if I gotta wait, like, this is embarrassing. If I have to wait, like, my tea is empty, it will be here and I have eating, you know, I'm like, in like 2 minutes. Empty! Now, 2 minutes, are you kidding me? It's something a baby. Just sit there. Oh, yeah, right. You know, a diamond is just a chunk of coal that's made good under pressure. And so will you. That's what he's doing.
There's another thing with the diamond. It's time.
Uh-huh.
Time and pressure.
Right. Yes. That's right. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18, guys, says, listen, when you're going through these things, don't lose heart. It says, therefore, we don't lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away. Man, I feel like I'm getting beat up all the time. Yet inwardly, God's using it, we're being renewed day by day for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So this is what you do. When when you're going through a trial, when you can't see, when the storm's in, the wind's hitting your face, when you fix your eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's your hope. Okay, so we're not even done with one. Faithful in prayer. I'll make this quick. I am. Colossians 4:2 says this: devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind. When you're going through these trials, when you're going through these things, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Realize the enemy's after you. Isn't that right, Gary?
Yeah. I heard a teaching just the other day that said that when you face trials or problems, any answer that doesn't have Jesus in the center is on the ground and failed. That's a good way to test whether your plans have any validity. Is Jesus at the center?
Yes. And it says this in Ephesians 6:18. You know, the Bible talks about, you might not understand, not somebody depending on where you're at, that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and heavenly places. There's a spiritual battle going on around you you don't even realize. That person who's bugging you at work, who's poking you, they're not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. You know what I'm saying? That person in church who's talking bad about you, whatever, get mad at them. What is that going to... You know what? Pray for them. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Or maybe not. We're supposed to get to that in a few minutes. But, you know, here's what it says. In Ephesians 6:18, in the middle of that valley, it says, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand. And after he says, suit up with this, that, and the other, shield of faith, the word of God, the helmet of salvation, all this, he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And he says, share with God's people. Lord, hold on a second. Sorry, guys. One second here. I'll be. Okay. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I'm going to story. This might have been my Bible college teacher a long time ago. A story that he shared, but it's about a woman named Ruby Hamilton, and she was a businesswoman in her 50s. And she was stunned by the loss of her husband of about 32 years in a car accident. And her anger and her disappointment went deeper, the more typical expression of grief, though. She'd become a follower of Christ in her late 20s, but her husband didn't share her newfound interest in spiritual things. Nevertheless, she'd set about praying for him feverishly and unceasingly that he would come to know the Lord. And one day, while she was praying, she felt a wave of peace wash over her, and that still small voice assuring her, and her that her husband would be okay, that he would be saved. She eagerly awaited the day when her husband would surrender her life to Jesus. And now this, the Lord, she trusted in the Lord, and the Lord had let her down. Well, what do you do when your faith makes sense? When God didn't seem to be answering or opening the doors, that Ruby Hamilton did something. She took her ball and go home. She started struggling with it, and she got angry, and then she got bitter, and then she separated herself from the church, and then she separated herself from the Bible studies, and then she separated herself, and she stopped living for God. It's sad that that's what happened. Now, there was a guy by the name of Roger Simmons. He was hitchhiking his way home, and he would never forget the date. It was May 7th. His heavy suitcase was making him tired, and he was anxious to take off the Army uniform once and for all. Flashing the thumb to the oncoming car, he lost hope, interesting words, when he saw that it was a black, sleek new Cadillac. But to his surprise, this black, new, sleek Cadillac stopped. The passenger door swung open. He ran toward the car, tossed the suitcase in the back, and thanked the good-looking, well-dressed man as he slid into the front seat. This was the conversation. Going home for keeps? Sure am, he said. Well, you're in luck if you're going to Chicago. He said, not quite that far. But do you live in Chicago? I have business there, the driver said. My name is Hamilton. They chatted for a while, and then Roger, a Christian, felt a compulsion in his heart to share his faith with this 50-ish, apparently successful, cool, good-looking businessman. But he kept putting it off. He got nervous. You know how that is sometimes.
So
yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Until he realized, okay, that it was now just over about 30 minutes from his home. And he realized that if he didn't do it now, it was now or never. Mr. Hamilton, I'd like to talk to you about something very important. And then he simply told Mr. Hamilton about the plan of salvation and ultimately asked if he would like to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And then something happened that shocked him. Roger said the Cadillac pulled over from the interstate on the side of the road. Well, of course, Roger said, okay, he's ticked off. He's angry. I'm going to be kicked out of here. But at least I made it most of the way, so I'm going to be thankful for that. But that's not what happened. Instead, the businessman bowed his head, and he received Christ. And he thanked Roger. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. So 5 years went by, and Roger married and had 2 children and a business of his own. And packing his suitcase for a trip to Chicago, he found a small white business card that had been given him by that guy on the Cadillac, Mr. Hamilton, 5 years previous. In Chicago, while he was there, he looked up Hamilton Enterprises. And so the receptionist told him that it was impossible right now for him to see Mr. Hamilton, but he could see Mrs. Hamilton. A little confused, he was ushered into a beautiful office where he found himself facing a keen-eyed woman in her 50s. She extended her hand. She said, "You knew my husband?" And Roger told her about how Hamilton had picked him up while he was hitchhiking home after the war and a little bit about that. And she said, "Can you tell me what day that was?" "Sure. It was May 7th, 5 years ago, the day I was discharged from the Army." And she said, "Was there anything special about that day for you?" And he hesitated, not knowing if he should mention that he shared the message of Jesus with her husband. And so he kind of struggled with it a little bit. And he said, "Mrs. Hamilton, I explained the gospel of Jesus Christ to your husband that day. And I thought he was going to throw me out of the car, but actually, you know, he pulled over to the side of the road and he wept against the steering wheel. And he gave his life to Christ that way, that day." And then as he was telling that story, the wife just exploded with sobs right there in the office. And, you know, kind of those convulsing where your body's shaking is how it was described. And she's just sobbing. And finally, after a long while of that, he didn't know what to do or what to say. And so he was trying to comfort her. But finally, getting a grip on herself, she sobbed and she said, "I had prayed for my husband's salvation for years, and I believed that God would save him. My hope was in him." And then she said, and then he said, "Where is your husband, Ruby?" And then she said, "He's dead. He was in a car crash after he let you out of the car. He never made it home. You see, I thought God had kept his promise. I stopped living for God 5 years ago, because I thought God had not kept his promise and his word." God wants us to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. When I think of those men, you know, I think of people, you know, joyful in hope. I think of Simeon, you know. He was told in Luke's gospel that he was going to see, before he died, the Messiah. And he was there, and there was another woman that was there too. She was prophetess Anna. She never left the temple. Day and night she prayed, and they were looking for this Messiah. And here comes Mary and Joseph with this little baby. And there he is before he dies. He gets to see him. There's a song called Simeon's Song. Some of you may have heard it. It's one of my very favorite songs. And they got to see the Messiah. He's joyful in hope and patient in affliction. Look at Joseph's life. I mean, his own brothers ostracize him. Have you been ostracized? Have you been thrown down a pit? They were mean. Then after that, that wasn't enough. They thought they could make a buck off him. They sold him into slavery. Hello. Then after that, at Potiphar's house, his wife started hitting on him. And he actually ran out of there. He's like, listen, I can't do this. Whoa, no, no, no. And she grabbed his cloak or whatever. And then, of course, the wife didn't want to get in trouble. So she couldn't find anything wrong with Joseph. So she started to accuse him because she felt guilty. Well, what happened for Joseph is he got thrown in prison. And you know Joseph's got to be thinking, what? I'm totally righteous this whole time. But God was using all these things. You guys remember the story in prison? You know, he helps the baker, he helps the cupbearer, he tells him the dreams. But finally, after a long period of time in prison, right, there's a famine in the land, and one of the kings has this dream, the Pharaoh, king of the land, and they bring him up from prison because one of the people who was in prison remembered him. And if you remember the story, Joseph interpreted his dream, right? And even though people were dying all over, including God's people, God used him, raised him up to the second most powerful position in the world, and used him to help save his brothers and his family. Patient in affliction. You don't know what God was doing. So by the time those brothers realized it was him, they were freaking out. They're going to kill us for sure. He's like, I've already forgiven you. What you meant for evil, God worked for good. I trust in the Lord. And then faithful in prayer. I think of people like Hannah, right? She was praying and praying, praying for this son, mocked and made fun of because she was barren. And yet she trusted the Lord. And she had a little boy. And then she gave that boy up to the Lord. But you know what? That boy became one of the most awesome prophets you can read about in 1 Samuel that ever walked the planet. Love the Lord. So for you, be joyful in hope, in your assurance in Jesus Christ, in his heart, his word, and spirit. Be patient in affliction. Don't freak out. Trust in him at all times, especially during that storm. And then be faithful in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says that for us to pray continually. Any words before we close? Members. A lot to it though, isn't it? Yes, thank you.
I know everybody probably had or about fast. Everybody has. My first marriage and my dad's was very abusive, verbally, mentally, physically. He now has gout. And I finally one day just took my kids and left, and he hid for 6 months. My family knew where I was, but he didn't. But when he got gout and he was in a wheelchair, I went to see him. This is where I met Daryl. I went to see him. And he was in his wheelchair. I walked up to him, and I got down where we were face to face. And I told him, I said, I forgive you. And he got tears in his eyes. And he told me, he said, I'm sorry. But he is not doing too good right now. They have given him 6 months. Because he has given up. He doesn't think he's worth anything.
Well, what's his name?
His name is Johnny. Johnny Vaughn.
We're going to pray for Johnny right now. If that's okay with you, it's not going to make you feel too awkward. Let's just stop. And we'll pray for Johnny. Lord, you know, a lot of us have felt that way, that our life wasn't worth anything. You know, honestly, Lord, without you, maybe it's not, but you love us, and you say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. that your thoughts towards us outnumber the sands of the sea, Lord, that before a word is on our lips, you know it full well, Lord God. You know the number of hairs on our head. You know the plans and the purpose for us, Lord, to give us a hope and a future, Lord, when we seek you with all of our heart. I pray that for that man right now, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that he was able to forgive. And Lord, I pray anybody here who maybe has been afflicted in that terrible way, I know there's others here, Lord, that they would give that all to you, trusting in you that you're going to take care of all those things, Lord God. Lord, we pray that you would save his soul, Lord, that you would bring other believers around him, Lord, to present the gospel, Lord God. And Lord, even if it's for, we pray for healing too, Lord, but we pray for you to heal his soul first and foremost, Lord God. That's the main thing. We're asking for his salvation right now, Lord. You've done it before here. Lord, we ask you that you do it again, Lord. Save this man, Lord God. Open his eyes and his heart to your gospel, Lord. Bring other Christians around him in Jesus' name. And for those who are going through affliction right now, Lord, in other ways, Lord, we pray right now that you would be with them. Bless them with hope. Bless them with encouragement. Bless them with steadfastness, Lord. And as they go through that fiery trial, Lord, I just pray that you would remove all the dirt, all the dross that's on top, so that they would be pure, that they would be mature and complete, not lacking anything, and able to bless your name and your people even more. And I pray, Lord, that no matter what, we would be praying for one another, Lord, and those around us, Lord. I thank you that we have a place where we can just ask and pray for people like this, Lord. So we're asking you to do a work. I ask for your blessing on each person here, that they would come not only to know you, but to live for you, Lord. Lord, I pray for next week, Lord, that you would, so many cool things, Lord, that you would bring whatever you want back, Lord. I didn't even stop, to be honest with you, Lord, but I'm trusting in you, Lord. So bring them back, Lord, and you may just share your word with them, Lord, and you may drive their faith deeper, Lord, as they go through these trials. Bless them, protect them, encourage them, and strengthen them. In Jesus Christ's name, our Lord and Savior. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you. Have a great week. In Jesus Christ's name.